Welcome back, everybody. Have you check us out on Facebook, all the cool stuff that's there. And where else, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And we got a ton of stuff that's cool there. If you're looking for any type of a outdoor activity, any type of a hunting season, fishing season, whatever you want, you click on the state, it'll pull you up to the DNR website. I mean, whether it's hiking trails at night,
drought,
whatever.
Fishing, whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely there. If it's what the ICE is doing across the state, I think they have something on there as well.
In whatever state.
Yeah, in whatever state. Yeah, exactly. Apparently, quite a few people from Minnesota weren't checking us out.
They weren't listening to us
last week. No, they weren't listening. In fact, they weren't listening to our conversation last week.
That's what I mean. It's
We
predicted this was going to happen
in
the show last week.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be before we get this news story?
It's here. It happened.
All right.
Crews rescued 200 anglers. Unless you were under a rock, you might have heard about this, but crews rescued 200 anglers from a sheet of ice on Upper Red Lake.
Another big puddle.
Anglers always eager to hit the ice, early ice, I'm going to have to add, like to take advantage of that hard water bite. And the incident in northern Minnesota on Upper Red Lake illustrates the risks that come in with venturing into and onto late November ice. The Beltrami County Sheriff's Office received a 911 call at about 11:30 in the morning on the 28th from someone fishing on Red Lake. Caller indicated there's a large chunk of ice that's broken free from the shoreline. Deputies and first responders arrived on the scene to find a large portion of the ice broken free with up to 30 yards of open water between shore and the angler section of ice. And they were stranded on what would be now called an ice floe. And I'm not exactly sure
how that is, because I got to believe the whole lake is froze over to begin with, is it not? Oh, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Oh, this is one of these projects where you can't fix it.
No, unless you want to put an outboard motor in the middle of it and start pushing.
Oof.
By 2:37, Sheriff's Office reported that everyone requiring evacuation of the ice had been reached and emergency responders cleared the scene. A press release issued by the Sheriff's Office said an estimated 200 individuals were evacuated, and they had a bridge that they had to put from the shore section of ice out onto the flow of ice, and it was right near JR's Corner Access, one of the main accesses. They were not there at the time. The owners weren't there at the time, but they said they were in continual contact with the people that owned JR's. They helped set up the bridge and work with local responders. It was super chill, zero panic, and 11:30 they called and said the ice is shifting out. How many people are out there? Over 100. He said, well, it's going to catch, but I don't know if it's how far of a big deal it's going to be. I mean, it'll catch on the opposite side.
Right.
And at 12:30, they had the bridge, and they were starting to go out and talking to people. Most of the people were quite calm about it. Most of them, they said, to just keep fishing at the time and trying to get their limit while they waited.
So is that how you troll?
That would be ice trolling, Don.
Yeah.
It's a different form. Really, it is a different form.
Yeah.
By 2:45, everybody was off the lake, and obviously, when you get to big lakes, you have a lot of the breaking that will go up. If you have a strong wind, it'll crush the ice on the far side, so it will allow that ice to shift and move. And between that and cracks in the middle, that's kind of what happened. You do have to pay a fee to get out there, and with this colder weather, it should help improve those conditions. But obviously, extreme caution is extremely important. And, of course, the recommendation, wait for 4 inches of ice for on-foot access, 5 to 7 for small ATV or snowmobile on the ice. And right now there's about 5 inches on the ice, so it was
right on the edge here to begin
with.
It
was marginal, shall we say.
Yeah.
It blew out. You said most of the ice at that point was 7 inches. Sometimes people they take bad wraps. One of them resorts open, everybody else is closed, but they had a good solid ice when they went out. And, of course, as a big shallow body water, Red Lake is one of those that gets to be a challenge. And I will say this, Don, I don't hate the fish that bad.
Right, me neither.
And I just, you know, we've had wind that's been ginormous.
Right.
So that's kind of a big deal. And, yeah.
And they catch some wind up there.
Just a little bit.
Not a lot of big hills.
Yeah.
That I noticed anyway. Have you ever fished that lake?
No.
I haven't either, so I really don't even know how deep it is.
I think it's 30 feet deep.
Okay.
It's primarily the deepest.
I hope they put that bridge.
Somebody will correct me on it. I know that. Yep. Please do. Feel free. I just haven't been up there. I'm just taking a poke. I remember
it's too deep to fall in.
Yeah. You're not going to be ankle deep head first in that one.
No.
There's a joke that goes with that, but I'm not going to tell it. Not worth it. However, this story is worth telling. A Dutch court has rejected. Now, this is Dutch, right? Dutch.
Right, yep.
Netherlands-type Dutch. Dutch court rejects plan to control growing wolf population with paintball guns. I can't make it up. A Dutch court on Wednesday rejected a plan to control the country's growing wolf population by shooting the animals with paintball guns to scare them away from people. The local court ruled officials had not justified their decision to use the novel approach as a safe way to teach the wolves to stay out of populated areas. It said regional authorities had not done enough research into other possible solutions. Natural Conservation Society of Fauna Protection objected to the plan, arguing it was an untested approach and it was unclear if the paintballs could seriously harm the animals. The group was happy with the outcome. The judge chose the wolf and not the humans, the organization said, Harm Neeson, in a statement. 2 centuries after the wolves were hunted to extinction in the Netherlands, the animals officially returned to the country in 2019 when a pair of wolves that crossed the border from Germany gave birth to 3 cubs on Dutch soil. Initially, the return of the protected species was heralded as a success, but as the population has grown, so has the opposition to them. Farmers claim wolves have killed dozens of livestock, animals, and earlier this month, the video of a wolf chasing a cyclist went viral on social media. Well, that will shorten your lap time. The Eastern Province of Gelderland issued a special exemption for regulations protecting the species, allowing officials in the Hoogvliet National Park to shoot the wolves with paintball guns. The country is now home to 4 packs of wolves, with the population totaling 20, although some German wolves do regularly cross the border as well. So, commentary. Ava, we're open. This is open mic right now.
Yeah.
I couldn't make that story up if I tried.
I'd find it hard to believe that even a paintball gun would deter a wolf.
Oh, they hurt. Have you ever been shot by one?
Yeah.
Well, but...
they sting, but I don't have a bet.
When there's food or a sting...
it might be worth it to them.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to hurt the animal enough to even...
it's not going to hurt them.
No. It might be enough to startle them and say, whoop, every time I go near somebody, okay? I think it's worth it. If they don't want to eliminate them.
I mean, it's worth a shot.
I wonder if they could use, like bear spray or something like that, pepper spray.
Unfortunately, you got to get pretty close. Paintball, you can take a long shot.
Yeah, I'd prefer not to be in either case, bear or wolf.
Marking your targets, boys. Marking your targets.
Yeah.
We're going to be right back. More Valley Outdoors.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
So, Don, how can you make that kind of a story up? I don't know.
You can't. There's so many times you can't.
I mean, we're off air. We were talking about the wolf situation up at the Wolf Center,
right?
And if you're not familiar with the Wolf Center, There is a center up in Ely, Minnesota, and it's kind of a fully immersive experience, so you can understand the wolf world history and all the things wolf, everything, all wolf, kind of like the Bald Eagles or the Eagle Center down in Wabasha, same kind of concept.
Right.
And you were talking about they were doing a CBS News piece up there.
Right.
And, how'd that go?
Well, they were actually inside the pen, you know, doing the interview, and even the people that work with these wolves all the time are being very watchful.
Since they were pups.
Since they were babies, yep. And, I mean, they fed them all the way through. You'd think they would be like, they do not domesticate like your other furry friend, the dog. They don't.
There's a reason why they're a wild animal.
Yep.
Unpredictable.
Well, the story was about how all dogs came from wolves. And I'm struggling with that myself. But I said, you telling me that Chihuahua came out of the bloodlines of the wolf? I don't think so.
Well, the percentage of difference in DNA between dog breeds is like immensely small. I think it's like 2% between a German Shepherd and a Chihuahua.
A Chihuahua.
Is only 2% of its DNA. Everything else is. So, I mean, it.
Right.
It's plausible that it all came from wolves, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just can't see it myself.
No, but, and again, the whole thing comes down to people think they can live with those animals. Grizzly man.
Right.
I hadn't been aware of it, and my girlfriend brought it up and said, hey, you realize this? She's terrified of grizzly bears after she listened to that audio tape. And I don't know if you've ever listened to the audio tape. It is the most chilling thing I have ever listened to, I mean, in my life.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. I'll probably avoid it.
There's an audio that was actually video, but it ended because the bear attacked him and it knocked the camera over.
Oh.
And all you have is audio of that
incident.
Great.
And
I don't need
no
to listen
thanks.
To that.
No, it his girlfriend was there and she's yelling at him, get him away. So yeah, it was. I don't know.
So much for living with the bears.
So bring it back to the wolf situation in, you know, for the Netherlands,
right?
You know, how do you handle that? I mean,
it depends upon how big a problem it is. You know, it's the, you know how they deal with it out west.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the issue. I mean, what is it too much? How many are too many?
Well, it's not
you,
that.
You have to do a regulation of that.
It's not so much that as if it's the wolf or me, I'm hoping the wolf
right.
loses in this deal.
I guess that's what I'm getting at. There's a certain point, prime example with deer.
Right.
The old joke is, you know, if you have a large population of deer, then you put a deer crossing sign up, and then somebody says, why do you have the deer crossing here? Why don't you change the crossing point with the sign
somewhere
else? Yeah,
2 miles
up. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You get that. That's a joke, but the sad part is,
right.
It is a truism that in a city environment, as the city encroaches on further and further areas, you have to be able to control. Otherwise, you're going to have more and more accidents, which has and does happen regularly. And that's why they have to regulate that particular group of animals in the area. So that's where you have to look at what is or is not a viable and controllable scenario. And if they do become encroach because they are an animal that will chase a biker, you have a situation.
So you're saying the deer won't follow the sign?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
It depends on the area and the education level.
Of the deer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Poverty.
What else do we have to talk about?
If you ever listen to the call, you'd love it. Did you hear that call?
Yes.
The radio?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
This is also one that it confused me a little bit. I'm not going to go into this so much as we got a story from you that's kind of reminds me of this. Grand Canyon is changing an offensive name, or the people that, you know, the Park Service, changing an offensive name near the popular hiking trail that's near Grand Canyon's Bright Angel Trail. It's called Indian Garden, and they deemed it as an offensive name. I'm a little baffled on that. It's part of American history, and I see nothing wrong with it. I guess that's me. But Members of the U.S. Board Geographic Names voted unanimously 19-0 favor to change the name of Indian Garden, popular trail, to Havasupai Gardens in the National Park Service area. And they will do that with all signs and everything else associated with it. And yeah, kind of a sad deal, but it had to do with the eviction of certain group of the Indian population at the time. That's what they named it after. And so I don't know. I didn't think it was a big deal. Similarly,
is it being put forward by the Native Americans, or is it?
I believe it. In this case, it is.
It is, okay. Well, out of respect, then that's maybe the thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's just a name. If it's offensive, change it.
No, I understand, but the only thing is, it is a slippery slope, because then what is offensive and isn't. I didn't think of that as offensive, but now let's move on to something that I think is rather offensive, Don.
I don't know if it's offensive.
I think it's sad, is what it is.
Well, to be honest, I don't know that it's doable. And we're talking about dark skies. It seems to be in the news lately, and there's communities now. This is in the Midwest, where they're trying to create the process by which you either reduce the lighting in a community so that you can see the night sky.
Yeah.
You know, and I can tell you that from experience, one of the highlights of going on a fly-in Canadian fishing trip, and I love going out at the end of the dock at night
it's unbelievable.
You don't know what dark is until you've been there, because there's no ambient light anywhere. And you just lay on the dock and look up, and you just can't believe what the night sky looks like. I don't see that hardly possible. Mm-mm. In the part of the country that we live in. And you know, you can get out in the country, but still there's that hue or that
right.
glow.
So
from
the communities. The issue is that communities are trying to light to become have certain areas that are not lit well, safer, and maybe just maintaining the lighting. And this group is now saying, no, we don't want to light the streets to be safer. We want to go this way. And it's been a controversy across the United States right now. I've been listening to several different broadcasts on it. So I thought it was just rather odd, but... nonetheless, be outdoors, enjoy it, go north where you can see the stars, and be part of that. Thanks for being part of us. We are the Valley Outdoors. For Don, Abe, and myself, we are out of here.